Well, good morning. Thank you for the birthday wishes and the birthday song, and it's much appreciated. Last time my birthday fell on a Sunday, I'll never forget this. I'll always remember this, and I may have told this story before, but Betty Donzi, who passed away not too long after the last time my birthday was on a Sunday, she was sitting in the back, and she called me over and said, "Hey, Brent, come here. So I went over there, and said, "Yeah, Betty." She's like, "Hey, is today your birthday?" I said, "Well, yes, it is." And she said, "Well, bend over so I can give you your birthday spankings." I'll never forget Betty for her sense of humor, and she was a great, great woman and very missed, but I'll always remember her for that. Hey, we're in the middle of our series called Soul Activity, and we're talking about what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. And if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, then the evidence should be in your life, right? I mean, there should be evidence within your life that you are who you say you are and you're doing what you say you should do. And we've been looking at this verse in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 30. And here's the deal with this verse. There were over 600 laws that the Jews were supposed to follow. Remember, we talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, and the religious leaders of this day would sit around and just debate. They just would debate all the time which of these laws were the most important of the 600. That's a lot of debating, right? And in Mark chapter 12, we see a religious leader who poses a question to Jesus, and it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them good answers. He asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Of all these over 600 commandments, which is the most important? You seem like a pretty smart guy. You seem like you know what you're doing. Maybe I'm going to try and trap you, but I don't know. I just want to know the answer. And the most important one answered Jesus is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then he says, and the second, I'll even go on and give you the second one. That's what Jesus said. And the second one is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. No command greater than these. And here's where we landed in week one. In week one, we landed on this. Being a disciple of Jesus means learning to love God with every aspect of your life. Being a disciple of Jesus means learning to love God with every aspect of your life. It's all or none with God. It's all or none. He wants all of you, not just some of you. He wants complete access into your life. Last week, we took a look at the first part of verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your what? Okay, you guys are still with me a little bit. A couple people are still with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. And here's what we said. Loving Jesus will satisfy your heart in a way that nothing else can. Loving Jesus will satisfy your heart in a way that nothing else can. You can try and satisfy your heart with money, with relationships, your career, whatever it is. But none of these things will satisfy you. All these things will end up disappointing you. Jesus is the only thing that can truly, truly satisfy you. And here's where we're going today. Going back to that verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. With all of your heart and with all of your soul. Today, we're going to be looking at the soul. So here's where we're going this morning. Loving God with all your soul means pursuing Him with your identity and your choices. Loving God with all your soul means pursuing Him with your identity and your choices. So this means you have to determine where your identity is, right? If you believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose for the forgiveness of your sins, then guess where you find your identity? In Christ, right? In Christ, in Him. You find your identity in Jesus. So loving God with all your soul means pursuing Him with your identity. And then based upon your identity and who you are and based upon what God has done for you, you are then to make choices in your life that glorify Him. Makes sense, right? Loving God with all your soul means pursuing Him with your identity and your choices so that, go to the next slide there, Elijah, so that God gets the glory. Now here's the deal. with your identity, it's found in Christ, but the world presents with you a lot of what? They present with you a lot of choices, right? Present you with a lot of choices. Every day you face choices, and the longer you live, more and more choices will be presented to you, right? We all face choices, and with all these choices we have, guess what? With all these choices we have, guess what? Not all things help you love God with all of your soul. Through all these choices, not all things help you love God with all your soul. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that statement? All the choices you make, not all of them help you love God with all your soul. You know that's right. Which simply means the next thing. Not all things help give God the glory. Not all things help give God the glory. You following me? You following with me? I mean, there are certain things I can do, and even though God allows them to be done, they won't help me love God with all my soul. Therefore, they won't help me give God the glory. Now, here's where all this comes from. It's a pretty famous passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And what we're going to discover is that not every choice helps your soul, our souls connect to God. And then not every choice helps us glorify God, even though God allows them to happen. So we're going to be hanging out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 23 this morning. And it starts like this. Mine says a little bit different. Let me flip. Mine starts out, everything is permissible, or I have the right to do anything. Everything is permissible, meaning there is a whole lot of choices out there, right? And you are allowed to do those things. You have freedom to live your life and make choices. Everything is permissible. I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. You can do what you want, but not everything is helpful to you, right? You following me? Meaning not everything you can do will help your soul love God. And not everything you do will help you give God the glory. And Paul says it again. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. I have the right to do everything, but not everything is constructive. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Meaning, there are some choices that you can make that may not help you become the disciple of Jesus that he has called you to be. That's some heavy stuff. That's some real heavy stuff right there. I mean, I wrestled with this all week. And if you're like me, you begin to think of the choices you make and you start asking, okay, God, what are the choices that I'm making in my life that aren't helpful or helping me become a better disciple, a better follower of Christ? What are the choices that I'm making that aren't building me up? The funny thing about this is we begin to make it about ourselves, right? But remember our scripture back in Mark that we just talked about, we just went over, that we've kind of been hanging out in this series? The most important law is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? But what's the second? The second most is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So when all things are permissible but not everything is beneficial, it's not just for you, but oftentimes it's the choices that you make that then affects your neighbor. You follow me? And by neighbor, he means other people. He means other people. The choices you make may not be constructive for yourself and even other people. Then look at what he says in verse 24. Go ahead to the next slide, Elijah, verse 24. Oh, there it is. No one should seek their own good but the good of others. No one should seek their own good but the good of others. No one should seek their own good but the good of others. So while not everything helps my soul connect to God, and not everything helps me give God the glory, what he's saying is that I can't just think of myself. I need to also think of other people while I'm thinking of myself. That gets a little bit confusing, right? And then Paul, he gives a couple examples. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Wow, that makes sense, right? Right? How many of you are like, oh, that makes total sense. I know exactly what he's talking about right there. Yeah, right? Because we go to the meat market often, right? No, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but here's the deal. Meat that arrived for sale in the marketplace may have been left over from a sacrifice at a pagan altar. Pagan meaning ungodly. They usually worshipped many gods. But it was impossible to know if such meat had been part of a sacrifice. So obviously these people in Corinth had wrestled with this. Hey, you shouldn't go eat that meat. Why can't I eat that meat? God made everything because I said you couldn't eat that meat. Because it was probably some sacrifice, so you shouldn't eat that meat. But I want to eat that meat. It's just meat, right? So there's obviously been some kind of discussion or debate within the Christian circle about, can I eat this meat or can I eat this? Can I not eat this meat? What's going on? They're telling me 1 minute I can. They're telling me 1 minute I can't. Somebody settle this, right? So he hears Paul saying, hey, eat anything sold in the market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord and everything in it. So Paul told the believers simply not to ask because it ultimately didn't matter. Whatever happened to the meat in a pagan temple, the believers knew that all food was created by God and it was a gift from God. So he just told them not to worry about it. Don't worry about it. And if they didn't ask, they wouldn't know whether it was offered to idols. Then they wouldn't have to worry about their conscience. So don't even ask. And since we aren't just focused on me, myself, and I, we are to be focused on our neighbors. Paul goes a step further in verse 27. Look at what he says in verse 27. Let me get it here. Picking up in 27. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. Have fun. Go and eat. Worry about the weight later. Okay, I may add that one in there. But have fun. Make choices that give God the glory. Go fellowship with these people. Build relationships. Enjoy it. Don't worry about where the meat came from. Just go have fun, enjoy it, and give God the glory. Now here's the thing. It probably would have been a breach of hospitality to ask about the food and then refuse to eat it, right? How much better would it be to just enjoy the host's hospitality and be a witness to their family than to raise a question of conscience and so lose that opportunity to build a relationship? If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. Sounds like God is telling us to just go have fun and enjoy ourselves, right? Just go have fun and enjoy yourself, and He will get the glory, right? But wait a second, what did we just do? We just put the focus back on who? Me and my choices, right? Me and my choices. Remember, we are also supposed to be thinking about who? We're supposed to be thinking about our neighbors, other people, right? That's why verse 28 starts like this, but, right? But. Have you ever had someone tell you something and then they say, but, right? What does that usually mean? Right? It usually means, hey, I know you heard exactly what I just said, but I don't even mean that. I mean the exact opposite. Like, I'll be like, hey, Kara, how's the shirt on me? Oh, it looks good, but it's a little bit tight, and you're gaining a little weight, you know? So what you're saying is that shirt doesn't look good on me, so why don't you say that in the first place, right? I know you heard what I just said. Well, forget it, because I mean exactly the opposite, and that's what Paul's saying here. But, he starts off verse 28, but if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. So wait a minute. I can, but I can't, right? Didn't you just say I can eat anything and not be worried about it? Now you're saying if someone says it's offered in sacrifice, don't eat it? How does that make sense? 1 minute you're saying, be happy, eat, worry about the weight later. And next you're saying, but if someone has an issue with it, don't eat it. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. And then verse 29 goes on, the other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. Basically what Paul is saying is if you are at a table and a person, someone who was weaker in faith and hasn't quite understood their freedom in Christ yet, says that this isn't right, My conscience says we shouldn't be doing this. If we eat this meat, we would be supporting idol worship. Then don't do it. Not for the benefit of yourself, but the benefit of the other person. The benefit of the other person. Think about things in your mind that you know of other Christians that you think it's okay and they think it's not. From certain things you consume, to certain things you can see, to certain places you go. For all you Michigan fans, Notre Dame fans, and Florida Seminole fans out there, you shouldn't go there anymore or watch those horrendous teams anymore because I think it's flat out wrong. No, I'm just kidding. But this is some deep stuff, isn't it? Because it's no longer about me. I have to also think about the other person. If they say this has been offered in sacrifice, then don't eat it. For me, no. For them. I'm not worried about you, I'm worried about them. For the sake of the man who told you, and for conscience sake, the other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. Meaning there will be people that believe something and you don't believe it. And you know full-heartedly that God says it's allowable. But that person doesn't yet fully understand that liberty. And maybe they have a misinformed view of it. But in that instance, it's not time to go into a theological debate and create an argument and prove your point and prove that you're right, because God won't get the glory out of you proving you are right. But rather, this is a time for you to be a mature believer and just say, you know what, for conscience sake, this isn't the time to pick a fight or prove them wrong or teach them. It's a time for you to say, you know what, not only am I supposed to love God with all my heart and soul, mind, and strength, but I'm also supposed to love my neighbor, so for their sake, I'll say no. I just won't do it. For their sake, not mine. For their sake. The bottom line is that everything a believer does should be done for the glory of God. If you're a strong believer and you have to set aside your liberties in order to win others to Christ, then you should do so, because this would bring glory to God. Going on to I'm going to go back to 29 and read to 11:1. It says, the other man's conscience, I mean not yours, for why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's not about you. And it's not about what you should or shouldn't do. Paul wanted these believers to understand that the liberty God gave them was not to be used to give an offense. Rather, Paul is saying that he has focused his entire life on winning others to Christ. His whole focus is winning others for Christ. If need be, he would never eat any meat ever again if it would keep others from stumbling. That's how serious Paul is. That's how far Paul was willing to go. And things that did not really matter, Paul tried to please everyone. Paul's focus was always to do what was best for others so that they may be saved. Nothing, not even liberty in Christ, should cause believers to lose sight of their desire to win others to Christ. And then Paul simply states that we should follow his examples as he follows the examples of Christ. Loving God with all your soul means pursuing him with your identity and your choices, so that God gets the glory. That's a lot to chew on, isn't it? It's pretty heavy stuff. Hey, I want to wrap up. I'm just going to wrap up this morning, because we could talk about this stuff all day long. We could debate about this stuff all day long. But I think it's good to let it sit and marinate a little bit. So I want to give you five questions to think about. You might want to write these down. Five questions to think about. And the first one is, do you love God with all your soul? I mean, that's a pretty pointed question. Nothing to really talk about, but what there is simply, do you love God with all your soul? That's a question you need to ask. You need to ask yourself. That's a question you need to think about. You need to look at your life, you know, and say, hey, do I love God with all my soul? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? The second question is, where do you find your identity? Where do you find your identity? Is your identity found in Christ, or is your identity found in your job? Is your identity found in money? Is your identity found in your car? Where's your identity found? Number three, what choices do you regularly face? What are the choices you regularly face in your life? Number four, are you giving God the glory with your identity and your choices? Are you giving God the glory with your identity and your choices? And number five, this is a big one. This is a big one. What allowable choices do you need to avoid around blank? You fill in the blank. You know the people you interact with. You know the discussions you have with those people and the issues that they raise maybe. Hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, I'm allowed to do that. Well, I don't think you're allowed to do that. What allowable choices do you need to avoid around blank? And here's where it all comes back to. Loving God with all your soul means pursuing Him with your identity and your choices so that God gets the glory. Not all things help you love God with all your soul. And here's the sticking point, this last one. Not all things help you give God the glory. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you, God, for tough passages. Because when we walk through tough passages, that means you're stretching us and you're strengthening us and you're making us think really hard on certain issues. And that's when discussion comes out, and that's when iron sharpens iron, because we're bouncing things off each other and we're teaching each other and we're listening and we're talking. But Father, help us to always think about others. It's an easy tendency to think about myself, me, myself, and I. Hey, what's my desires? What's my wants? What do I want to do? Oh, I think that's okay for myself. But we don't always think about, hey, is the choice that I'm making okay for this other person that I'm around? Is that going to make them stumble because they're not as mature in their faith as I am, and I think this is allowable? I know this is allowable from you, but they think it's wrong. So, Father, help us in those instances when we know that we could be right and this is okay to do, but they think it's wrong. Help us to say, you know what? Just for their sake, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it around them. I'm just going to avoid that. Because that's when we're putting the focus on other people, and that's what you called us to do, to love you with everything we have and then love others just like that. Father, we love you and we thank you. Help us continue wrestling with our identity and with our choices, that so that you get the glory in everything we do. And it's your name we pray. Amen.